Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Show. Well, I told you we were going to have some glorious, glorious Christmas music, and that's what we're going to be doing with most of this hour. We're going to be talking with a man that has done something so very, very special, and we're going to be telling you what it is. We're going to be talking with Ronald M. Clancy, and he has the most spectacular millennia collection of Christmas music. And I became acquainted with Ron about 4 years ago, and he has been with me every holiday. And when I first found his material, when it was sent to me, I was just flabbergasted. Ron, I want to welcome you to the show.
Donna, it's great being on again.
Well, I'll tell you, it is such a joy because you did a project with music for the holidays that I just think is unparalleled. You have collected children's classics, Americans' children's classics. You even have something about the best loved Christmas carol. And I would love for you to share with my audience a little bit about how this dream developed. I mean, this is something that took you years to put together.
Well, to answer the question, the idea germinated actually in the 1980s after I had collected a lot of Christmas music of all types, and it started to, essentially get me to ask the question, when did Christmas music begin? And I try to do that with what I call the Millennia Collection, which really is a total of 9 manuscripts that I was hoping some publishers might come to bat and publish it instead of me doing the publishing. And so in the year 2000, I had note takers with this grand idea I had. And so I said, well, Ron, if you don't do it, it will not get done. So I decided to pull the trigger. And in the year 2000, I released my first title, Best Love Christmas Carol, which is volume one of what I call the Millennia Collection. And I chose that the Millennia Collection, what I thought would be a wise way to describe this collection, because really, with all 9 manuscripts, we cover 2,000 years, as opposed to the second millennium, where most all the music, carols, and songs come from. But the real starting point for this collection started when I was 6 years old in a Catholic orphanage in Philadelphia, when I heard nuns singing Christmas carols at a midnight mass I attended then, and the love of Christmas music has stayed with me ever since.
Now, to put this together, this was quite a project for you, and I've got all three of your books in front of me. And I was so impressed, and when I was getting ready for the show today and opening them back up and looking at them, it's hard to believe that you put together such a magnificent, magnificent trio of publications. And they are, they're so absolutely beautifully illustrated with art from various periods of time. And I wanted to touch on one of the, you have a particular grouping in your book, The Best Loved Christmas Carols, which was your first one. The artwork in here is just amazing. I mean, you have in here the rose window, the Cathedral of the Notre Dame in Paris, the quality of the paper. Not only do you provide a CD of all the music, but the history that you have in here, this is just amazing. You have something about the Christmas tree at Windsor Castle. You go into the history of various carols, how they came about. And one of them I'd want to talk about is the First Noel. Now, when I first saw this, and I was just a little, little girl, music was very much a part of my life when I was younger. Noel was spelled N-O-E-L. And you said the correct spelling is N-O-W-E-L-L. Give us a little bit of history about the First Noel.
Well, when you say Noel, N-O-E-L, most people assume that the carol was of French origin, and it really is not. It's of English origin. And the word Noel actually goes back a very long time. In fact, I went into the library and went through the Oxford Dictionary, which, you know, essentially traces the evolution of words for like 1,400 years. I was looking at the word Noel, and they were essentially tracing it back to the days of Chaucer, okay? And it's actually, that is the real title to what we call the First Noel, although there are a lot of recordings that come out, we'll say, the First Noel as N-O-E-L. But the correct spelling would be N-O-W-E-L-L because it is of English origin, okay? And it has been mentioned, say, a number of times in the Oxford Dictionary, its usage from the days of the Canterbury Tales by Chaucer. I decided, I wanted to sort of correct the record, so to speak, and use the correct title for the song.
Now, the music itself, The First Noel, which is a favorite of so many people, was composed by Henry John Gauntlett, and that was he lived from 1805 to 1876, and he composed it in the mid-19th century. And he was highly recognized for his music, and Felix Mendelssohn, you have a note in here, said that he thought very highly of him as a professor of music. So when someone would look at your material, not only is your book absolutely exquisite to look at, the artistry and everything that is portrayed here is just spectacular, but you also give the lyrics of the music. You give the history of the music. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to share with a family, or if someone belonged to a church and you had a bunch of kids around. But it's interesting to adults, too. It's for people of all ages. And I think you did just a phenomenal job at bringing it all together. Now, we have a piece of music. It is Patapan.
Patapan.
Yes. And there's a wonderful story that goes with this, and we're going to be playing it in just a moment. Now, the rendition that we are playing is by James Galway and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. So we are going to be playing that. And, Don, are we ready to go?
Are you talking to your operator?
Yes, I'm talking to Don. He might be on the phone. So as soon as he is free, then we will be playing it. Meanwhile, what I'm going to do, because he is sort of managing a lot of different things all at the same time, so he'll be playing the music in just a moment. But while we're waiting for Don to be able to play that piece for us, I want to talk about a piece of music that is absolutely a favorite of just about everybody I know, and that is the 12 Days of Christmas. Now, that song can be an exhausting song to sing if you're doing it all by yourself, but sometimes people like to do it in a round or as a group they participate in it. It is just such a wonderful song, and it is so colorful with everything that it's doing. Tell us about the 12 Days of Christmas and how that came about.
Well, the 12 Days of Christmas, like a number of our carols, including the first Noel, which we were just talking about, we do not know who wrote the lyrics to this particular song. It's an anonymous composer, and it comes from England. And essentially, you know, the 12 Days of Christmas really represent the 12 days from Christmas Day up to January the 6th. That is the traditional 12 days of Christmas. It's been, you know, essentially a piece of music that has become, as you stated, very popular. It's, in fact, to tell you the truth, it's hard to think of Christmas without ever hearing the song. It's such a wonderful song. Again, it's an anonymous composer. And supposedly, there's been some myth going around in recent years that Catholics that were persecuted in England at a certain period of time used this particular song to learn their catechism lessons. For instance, the first day of Christmas, instead of being, you know, would be essentially represent Jesus Christ. Two turtle doves would represent the Old and New Testament. Three French hens, faith, hope, and charity. And it goes from there. So it has a rather interesting history. But again, this is a type of song that really gets you into the spirit of the holidays, and it would be difficult, you know, having a Christmas without ever hearing this particular wonderful song.
Oh, and it's, again, it's just so much fun. Now, I'm just checking again to see if Don is free where we can play that next piece of music. And I'm just going to pause for a moment to see if he or his associate would be there. Apparently, they're not. Well, let me go in to a little bit of the Path of Pan. And this is the piece of music that I was wanting to play. Now, this is a French classic, and this belongs to... Oh, wait a minute. There we go. Don? Okay, can we go into Path of Pan? Can I come back in, introduce it, and then go into the music? Hello? Ron, are you still there?
Oh, I'm here, yes. I'm,
okay, he must have turned the music on. He's there in the studio all by himself, and they've got three different programs running simultaneously.
But you're saying about this carol that is it one that you like? It's one of your favorites?
Well, there's so many pieces in there. I have to tell you, my absolute favorite. I'm sure that Don is letting me know that I'm off the air, and he'll let me know when we're ready to come on. My absolute favorite is the one by Kate Smith, and I'm going to be playing that at the end of the hour. You won't be on the phone with me, but I am going to be playing that at the end of the hour, because it's just absolutely awesome. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Anyway, he'll let us know when it's time for us to come back in.
That's interesting you mentioned the I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I recently wrote a newspaper article about that song, as well as a few others, which were essentially about the theme of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that was written, of course, by the lyrics from the poem Christmas Bells by the great poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And it was composed in the Civil War, after he had learned that his son had been wounded in battle. And when he was still fighting a depression he was suffering because 3 years earlier his wife had died in a fire accident where he tried to help put the flames out, but she died of burns, and he was still very depressed about that. They had a great marriage, and then when he heard his son was wounded in battle 3 years later, he started writing this poem called Christmas Bells.
Mm.
And in the course of writing that poem, he heard bells, you know, ringing in the distance, and he was writing it on Christmas Day itself, that by the time that what started out as his being in a melancholy mood ended up where he was in much more of a hopeful mood, and the words reflect that.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, and by the way, we do have Kate Smith sing that song. She does a tremendous job with it.
Oh, she does. She does. And I'll be playing that at the end of my show. And I'm waiting for Dawn to come in and to let me know, because it's only a minute and 21 seconds for the Pacapan, and I will give the information on that. Again, I think your books are just absolutely marvelous.
Why, thank you. And for your fans out there and folks who listen in, I try to, and I think I mentioned this before, I wanted to give folks who love Christmas music more than just the music itself. And I actually thought that I would try to do something that might be a little bit better than what Time Life or Reader's Digest does, because all they do is provide the music CDs. I wanted to provide folks the music in addition to the stories behind the music, as well as the music scores, wherever possible, and to do that in a highly illustrative way where people can say, this is one of the finest collections of Christmas art you will find anyplace. And
right.
So
well,
therefore, what I was trying to do is give folks who love Christmas music a 3-in-1 gift, history, art, and music in the same package.
This is Donna. You've been listening to the wonderful music of Pacapan. And, you know, Ron, there is so much beauty in your CDs that you have in your Millennium Collection. Pacapan is a French classic, and you say that it was first published in a 1701 carol book, and you'll have to pronounce it. I do not speak French. What was the correct pronunciation of that carol book of 1701?
It would be Noël pour Guignon.
And when did the English version appear?
The English version first appeared in 1907 and is the work of Percy Dermer, who is one of the three authors of one of the greatest carol books ever put together, the 1928 publication of Oxford Book of Carols.
Now, there was some folklore that went along with this song that we just played. What's that history?
Well, the thing is that in a lot of these towns, small towns in France, folks would be singing. In fact, you had shepherds that used to sing from the hilltops. For centuries, the carol we know as Angels We Have Heard on High. And similar to that, we have a Patapam, which actually the music represents the bagpipe musical style. And bagpipes, you know, used to be a rather popular instrument, and in the ancient manuscripts in Europe, you can see different illuminations of bagpipe players singing and playing songs. And Patapan is actually, you know, sort of represents this particular type of motif, and it's part, you know, it's something that where a fife player and a drummer would essentially come together as folks would sing carols and around dance.
Now, there are so many songs that over the years have become a favorite. They come from all over the world. There is one, The Little Drummer Boy, that has been a favorite of so many. Why do you think that became so popular, and where did it come from?
Well, The Little Drummer Boy, I think to some degree, was actually, I think, based or might have been influenced by the very song we just spoke about, Patapan. Because Patapan is about a fife player and drummer, you know, as part of the song, okay? And the English translation of Patapan would be, "Willie, take your little drum," okay? Now, The Little Drummer Boy was composed by a wonderful woman by the name of Catherine K. Davis in 1941, and the original title of the song was called Carol of the Drum. It wasn't until 17 years later, in 1958, when it was made into recording with the Harry Simeon Chorale. And Harry Simeon and Henry Obernati, the two of them collaborated with Catherine K. Davis to, you know, wed her lyrics with the music, and that became a very, very popular song. In fact, it's one of the best, let's say, more religious carols in America in the second half of the 20th century.
Now, we're going to be playing the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, and this is a favorite. It's been featured in movies. It has been done by the Rockettes in New York. This is such a magical, magical piece. And Don, if you're ready, then let's do the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers.
The toy shop door is locked up tight, and everything is quiet for the night, when suddenly the clock strikes 12, the fun's begun. The dolls are in their best array, there's going to be a wonderful parade. Hark to the drum, oh, here they come, cries everyone. Hear them all cheering, now they are nearing. There's the captain, stiff as starch. Bayonets flashing, music is crashing as the wooden soldiers march. Sabers are clinking, soldiers are winking at each pretty little maid. Here they come, wooden soldiers on parade. Daylight is creeping, dollies are sleeping in the toy shop window fast. Soldiers so jolly, think of each dolly dreaming of the night that's past. When in the morning, without a warning, toy man pulls the window shade, there's no sign the Wood Brigade was ever out upon parade. When in the morning, without a warning, toy man pulls the window shade, there's no sign the Wood Brigade was ever out upon parade. Soldiers on parade! You march with them!
Aye, that is the delightful Parade of the Wooden Soldiers. Now, Ron, give us a history on this, because this is and has been for so many people so magical. Children of all ages love it. It just has that special something with the little horns and the beat. Give us some history on this.
Well, what you heard, by the way, is a rarity. You rarely hear the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers sung. most times it's only the music is the only thing you'll hear. And that's true whenever the Rockettes perform the Parade of Wooden Soldiers, as they did again just recently on television. But the music was composed by a German by the name of Leon Jessel in 1905, and the words for it were not wedded to the music until 1922, when it was combined with a Broadway musical play, which had a French name called Chauve-Souris, which meant the bat. And together, they form the Parade of Wooden Soldiers as we know it today. But since that time, it has become a favorite of the Rockettes, as you stated earlier, in New York, and has been made one of their premier attractions during the Christmas holiday season. And again, what the music you heard, I love it when you can hear the lyric to the song, because it really gives you a real strong feeling as to essentially how it influenced and made a lot of folks enjoy it when they first heard it back in New York in 1922.
Right, and some of the lyrics, here are the beginning lyrics. The toy shop door is locked up tight, and everything is quiet for the night. When suddenly the clock strikes 12, the fun's begun. The dolls are in their best array. There's going to be a wonderful parade. Hark to the drum. Oh, here they come, cries everyone. And then you have this wonderful beat. You just have, it's such a happy, joyful expression for the holiday season. Now, for those of you that have just tuned in, Ron Clancy is my guest. I have known Ron for a number of years, and it is always a joy to have him on my show because of this Millennium Collection. And it took Ron a long time to be able to get permission to use the music, but he also has art in these books. In fact, under the section on the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers is a 1907 book illustration by Heinrich Loeffler and Joseph Urban, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely a gorgeous piece. What a challenge for you, Ron, to be able to reproduce this art. I mean, it had to have taken you so long to get permission from museums and from individuals. How long did it take you to get all of this? Because you've got three major publications here.
Well, the thing is that, remember, I wrote 9 manuscripts, and so therefore I was looking to have them all illustrated. So part of the strategy had to be spent, used for going to libraries and going through tens of thousands. I know I went through tens of thousands of images, and I was looking for very specific images for each particular song. And in the case of the Wooden Soldiers, if you notice the date of this particular wonderful illustration, it's 1907, and the music came out in 1905. I wanted to give folks a feel for how art, imitates, music during that era. And I thought that this particular painting essentially really, really coincides and works very well with music that was done in 1905. But to answer your question, in short, it took many, many hours, and I was trying to be very, very precise in the type of art that was chosen for each of the music selections.
Well, it's just such an accomplishment, and I know we're going to be going on break in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to be playing some other very joyful music and talking with Ron about his collection and some more history. So often when we have grown up with a certain kind of music, we don't realize what caused that music to come about and why. It is so very, very significant, and so many of our favorites are 100-plus years old. Some of them, many hundreds of years old. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. This is our day for playing glorious Christmas music and acquainting you with Ron Clancy and his fabulous Millennium Collection. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do we see?
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, you've heard another beautiful piece of music, and as I said, this was going to be an hour dedicated to music. So we are going to go into one that's perky. It was written in 1857, and it is perfect for getting into the mood for the holiday. We're going to be playing a rendition of, well, I think you're going to remember this very easily. We'll go ahead and we'll be playing Jingle Bells, and the recording artist is Patti Page.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. The bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride. And soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, but misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifting bank, and then we got upside. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Well, did I goof? I told you that was Patti Page. No, it's Burl Ives, and he is one of my favorite people. I love the rendition that he does of Jingle Bells. It's a wake-up kind of a piece of music. But Jingle Bells, it's known as the best-known American secular Christmas carol. And when was it first performed, Ron?
Well, actually, there's some debate upon when it was actually first performed. It was copyrighted in 1857, okay, when James Pierpont was living in Savannah, but he probably composed it when he lived New England and had it played for a Thanksgiving program at a Boston church where he also taught Sunday school. What's interesting about Mr. James Pierpont, he was also the uncle of one of the greatest financiers in American history, J.P. Morgan. John Pierpont Morgan, the great financier who saved the American economy by bailing it out in the early part of the 20th century.
Amazing. Now, it wasn't originally titled Jingle Bells, was it?
No, it was initially titled One Horse Open Sleigh. And again, if you look at the painting that's associated with Jingle Bells, is in the picture, you'll notice one of the sleighs is a one horse open sleigh. A lot of the images of open sleighs from Carrier and Ives actually show two horses as opposed to one.
Now, there is a wonderful, wonderful piece of music that has been made into music. You know, it's been made into all kinds of productions. It has been a favorite of children around the world, and we're going to be playing that in a moment here. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That is something that has just captured the hearts and minds of so many people, and we're going to go into that right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the history about this wonderful piece of music. We're only going to be playing like about 2 minutes of it, but you will have some very, very fond memories. And again, this is part of the Children's Christmas Classics, and I just think it is absolutely marvelous. So we're going to go, and this is done by Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanian. So, Don, if you're ready, then let's go for 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
To children of all ages, Christmas means Santa Claus.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled up snug in their wee little beds. What visions of sugar plum danced in their wee little heads.
And I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap.
Women on the wall up there arose at your clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away from the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw open the sash.
Hi, I told you it's fun to listen to, and of course we all love it. Now, Ron, you were giving some very interesting history about putting this in your book, and this is the American Christmas Classics, and we'll be talking about it a little bit. But let's go into this wonderful story, The Night Before Christmas. How did it come about? Who did it? And what makes this particular rendition so special?
Well, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas is actually a recording of one of the first recordings of the classic poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore, that was composed in 1822. And the poem actually wasn't published until a year later, on December 23rd, 1823, and it quickly caught the fancy and the attention of the American public and has become a favorite of Christmas ever since. Now, what I try to do here in American Christmas Classics is try to not only talk about the poem, which is actually the lyric for the song, but also try to essentially get some information about the recording itself, which is by Fred Waring in the Pennsylvanias, and one of the first recordings ever to essentially put the poem to music. But in telling the story, I wanted to show folks how St. Nicholas evolved into the Santa Claus as we know him today. So as folks leaf through the pages about the story behind 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, they're going to see artwork which shows St. Nicholas as a medieval saint. And then there's another piece that shows him performing a miracle. And then it shows how St. Nicholas is celebrated in the Netherlands. There's a painting by Jan Steen. And then you'll see there's an illustration here, a right jolly old elf. This is a description of Santa Claus in the poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas. And the only reason that Santa Claus could fit down the chimney was the fact that he was a right jolly old elf, and elves are small. It wasn't until about 30, 40 years later when Thomas Nast, the great political cartoonist from New York, who actually, by the way, was the one who essentially made the donkey the symbol of the Democratic Party and the elephant the symbol of the Republican Party, but he also loved Christmas, Thomas Nast. He made Santa it's a more jolly-looking fellow, and then we know him better today as the fellow in the red suit at the Coca-Cola Santa Claus, and that's how we view him today. But all of this information is part of the backdrop to the song, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which, by the way, ends up with some additional lyrics added to it, which simply says, 'Tis the night after Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. The presents are scattered, and broken I fear, and St. Nicholas won't come again for a year.'" And I thought that was kind of a whimsical ending to this wonderful poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, by Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians.
Absolutely. Now, Ron, I know we're coming to the end of our time together and sharing the music, but would you give us your website? And you've got a wonderful, wonderful bit of news. You've been accepted by a major publishing house, and these books are in Barnes & Noble and all over the place on Amazon. So what's your website so they can get more information about you and this wonderful collection of music? It would make a fabulous gift.
Well, the website is simply www.christmasclassics.com. Again, that's www.christmasclassics.com. By the way, all of our titles are on sale, a special sale this year. The toll-free number for those folks who may be listening and do not have access to a computer, the telephone number is 866-552-7742. Again, the toll-free number is 866-552-7742. Just to add something to what you were just saying, Donna, next year, Sterling Publishing, which is owned by Barnes & Noble, they will be publishing my fourth title called Sacred Christmas Music. Again, that will not be out until next year. And when it does come out, that will be motets, that excerpts from Messiah, some of our best carols, and it also will have one of the finest collections of manuscript art you'll ever find any place.
Well, I'm looking forward to receiving a copy of that. I cherish what I have here, and folks know that music goes along with it. He has music books, so if you're a teacher, if you're involved in music, and you want to have this wonderful collection, it's something that you would pass along to family members, give to a school, dedicate to a library. It is awesome. Ron Clancy, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been an absolute joy.
Donna, thank you for having me on, and Merry Christmas to you and all the folks out there in Washington.
Thank you so much. This is Donna Thiebaud. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away now.
Donna Thiebaud publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I know that my format today has been a little bit different, but for me, in getting ready for the show today and listening to all of the beautiful music, there is so much beauty out there, and I think that it is something that when you can share it and you can hear it, it really is magical. It really gets you into a wonderful mood, and it sets you up for a holiday season that I think is great. We're going to be closing out the show today. When we come close to the end of the time, we'll be closing out the show so that you'll be hearing a song by Kate Smith that is absolutely wonderful, and I hope it just gives you that extra special oomph for your holiday period. Well, telephone lines are now open. Telephone number 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. And I know we're getting close to the end of the hour, but we still have time. If you wanted to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Now, tomorrow we're going to be having Russell Targ as a guest. His book is titled The End of Suffering. And this is, to me, such a special publication. Russell has been my guest before. This is a man, maybe you're familiar with him, maybe not. He's been very much involved in working with the CIA and training people to do remote viewing. He's such an incredibly talented man, is very knowledgeable about mind skills, etc. So this book, The End of Suffering, is of an entirely different genre than what you would expect. And it is something that was done with a great deal of thought and a great deal of purpose, especially when we look at so many of the things that are going on in the world today. And it's not fun. There's a lot of ugly stuff that's going on. So this is a very special book, and I'm looking forward to having Russell. Next week, we have a delightful lineup. Yes, we're getting ready for the holidays. Yes, yes, yes. And I know so many of you are just out there, just busy as you can be. Well, on Monday, we're going to be dedicating some time to Matthew Golub and Jazz Fly and Gobble Quack Moon. Yes, this is all for kids. Make a wonderful gift for children. Then we're going to be talking with Susie Scott Krabacher, Angels of a Lower Flight. This is a true story about a very humanitarian individual who has accomplished something I just have nothing but admiration for. Then we're also next week going to be talking with Dr. Elmo. He's been a guest on my show before. He has a wonderful CD, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So we're going to be having fun next week. And then Guy Finley is also going to be my guest next week, The Secret of Letting Go. It is such a valuable, valuable perspective that I think is so important for all of us. And then, yes, we are going to be talking with Troy Townsend, and we're going to be talking about how you can cook with the wines of Washington and Oregon. Being in the Northwest, when I found out what Troy had put together and I found out about some of these recipes, ooh, we definitely have to talk about it. So we've got a great lineup of guests that are going to be coming up. Well, I know we're close to being out of time, and Don is going to be putting in a piece of music in just a moment that will be clearing the show out with that I think is just marvelous. Kate Smith is someone, when I first heard her sing years ago, I was amazed at the woman's power and at the magnificence of the very essence that she gives. When she sings the Star Spangled Banner, well, it just is absolutely incredible. So enjoy her. I want to say, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. The Christmas spirit is what's inside of you. It's not the things on the outside. But music is a wonderful way to feel it. And I think when you listen to Kate, she will leave you with a wonderful feel-good that you are going to thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. And as you go about your day, be at peace and understand that your attitude makes all the difference in the world. And when you carry joy in your heart, you can't help but have joy in your experience. This is Donna Siebel. I'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now. You're going to be listening to Kate Smith as we close out our program today.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're all and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought that now this day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rung. Bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.